We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
I'll tell you, we have turned this into a full-blown series. For those watching, those here with us in person, those listening to the podcast right now, this Living for Legacy won't die. No, it's a good thing. That was a joke. Are you guys awake? All right, I got like 8 people with me. The rest of you, go see my espresso machine and come back. Okay, it's good to be in God's house, but I really need you awake. It's going to be a good finale to our Living for Legacy series. If you haven't been with us, and this is your first time maybe tuning in or being here in person, we're so happy to have you with us. We're a bunch of normal people. Well, most of us are normal, but we're all seeking a real God who makes real change and continues to help us in our everyday life. Amen? So as we continue this series, we've covered things such as how I live matters to God, how I treat others matters to God, and it's totally about building our legacy, right? How about living beyond intentions into actions? We covered that, right? Because inevitably, when it comes to how people remember you, because how many know one day we're all going to die? At least that's what every generation before us tells us, right? And unless we're the last generation where Jesus comes back, hello, I'm okay with that. But unless that happens, the only thing guaranteed about life is that there will be death. And that's kind of bleak. And someone's like, wow, this is not a very optimistic church. No, it's not that. It's actually, I believe there's a realistic nature. Because if we continue to forget that tomorrow isn't promised or guaranteed, if we don't remember today may be all we have, then we don't even live today with purpose. We don't continue to consider what God would have us do because we feel we can just deal with it another day. There's no guarantee. I've told you time and time again, I feel like every time I stand up here and talk with you, I'm preparing for another funeral like I have next week again. All I can tell you is that you're not guaranteed tomorrow, so make the most of your today. You know, we've talked a lot about how people are speaking of you today talks about the current legacy you're building. Doesn't mean you can't change, but it's a reality. We focused on how we will be remembered, and today I want to talk to you about, am I leaving anything lasting? What am I leaving? Am I leaving anything that means anything? See, what spiritual inheritance and earthly inheritance and foundation of faith, what of those am I leaving to the next generation? How can we talk about living for legacy without talking about the next generation? Now look, I know some of you in here would say, well, I'm not a parent. I don't have to worry about that. Of course you have to worry about that because you've been given a measure of influence in your world. Whether you're 60 or whether you're 16, somebody is looking at you. And God has given you the ability to create change with your influence. You have the ability to choose whether that's positive or negative. But either way, we will give account. We will stand before the judgment seat. Someone says, oh, I thought I'm a Christian. I don't have to do that. No, we will all still stand before the judgment seat. I'm thankful as a Christian that I'm going to be let in. Hello. I was just at a music store yesterday, which isn't surprising. However, which was surprising was that the owner of the store was talking to me about some other religion that had come in and really tried hard to convert this guy. And he's kind of more of like, he believes in something but doesn't live for it, right? And as we're talking through it, I'm helping him understand, look, the whole Bible from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation is always pointing to Jesus. The whole thing. What? You go, well, I didn't see Jesus in the whole Old Testament. What you saw was the need for Jesus in the whole Old Testament. What you saw was that man could not live perfect. We could not fulfill the Old Testament, but yet God required the Old Testament fulfilled. We talked about how even symbolically we see things throughout the whole scripture. You've heard me say it before. When we talk about Noah's Ark and there was one door on the Ark and when that door closed, no one else could get in. That door is symbolic of Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father. No one gets eternity. No one gets heaven unless they come through me. And someone goes, that is not politically correct. Jesus is not politically correct. If you choose to live within the filter of society, you're going to miss what God's doing. If you choose to filter your society with God's filter, you'll be blessed through it. What does that even look like? I'll tell you, blessing doesn't mean you're going to have a Rolls Royce. Blessing doesn't mean you're going to have that Maserati. Blessing doesn't even mean you're going to have that driveway. But blessing can be the ability to lay your head at the pillow and have peace and actually fall asleep without mental illness or struggle. God has the ability to sustain us, those who are in Christ. Amen? One of the hardest things to do is to try and lead a funeral where you don't know where they stood with the Lord. And I just want to ask you today, where do you stand with the Lord? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Again, what spiritual inheritance, earthly inheritance, or foundation of faith are you leaving to the next generation? So again, if you feel like all you were responsible was for you, then why did God say that we are our brother's keeper? Why did God talk so much about what we do with the influence we have? Why did Jesus say, go and do likewise after the Good Samaritan story? Because there's an expectation that we use our influence for good, yes? And so let's remember that God has left us principles to live by, ones that matter to him, ones we will give account for one day. Will you read with me in Psalm 78? Let's go through this together. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. We literally have that. We will tell the next generation scripture on our kids' wall as they walk through our kids' facility. Look at, he decreed statutes for Jacob. Who did? God did. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born. Yes, God cares about the unborn child in the womb. Okay? Not blurry. Then they would put their trust in God and would forget his deeds and would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. It is important to consider the next generation. It is important to consider how we influence those that are looking to us. It is important. It matters to God, the legacy we leave. So what are we leaving that lasts? What am I building into the next generation? What am I doing that's going to last? We are speaking of inheritance. So what inheritance am I leaving to the next generation? Whether you have kids or not, we can leave a lasting inheritance to that next generation. So we all have that measure of influence in our world. So when it comes to leaving a legacy, there are three key things to consider. And these three things I'm going to try and get through all today by being somewhat brief so that you allow me to finish on time. Ongoing joke. Influence, impartation, and inheritance. Number one, use your influence for good. Yes, you have influence. We have influence and are called to use it for good. So what are you doing with your influence? Psalm 78:4. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation. You are responsible to pass on that which God has made known to you. And it's important for you to open the scripture and you to read the word so that he can make more known to you so that you can pass more on to the next generation. Jesus tells us that we are here to be a difference in our world. When we stop creating good change, we lose our purpose and meaning. Look at how he explains it through the illustration of salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. What is Jesus saying? You are here to be an influence. What I'm doing in you should not die in you. How many understand the idea of a seed? It reproduces. What God is doing in your life, it should be reproducing. It should be multiplying. You don't put one seed in the ground and expect one thing to come up, do you? You don't put in an apple seed and expect one apple to come out of it. You expect multiplication, right? But how many know a seed won't produce unless it dies? What that means is what God is doing in me, the only way it's going to multiply is if I die to myself to allow it to multiply. What does that mean? I can't live based on my emotions. I can't live just based on my feelings. I can't live with the whims of society and what culture says is okay. Can I tell you half the stuff culture says is okay, God says is evil? Oh, but I'm just living in my times. I'm living in my lane. If we just go along with the flow, we're going highway to hell. Listen, well, I'm just kind of going along with the flow, right to hell. He's too young to preach like that. I know. Listen, we have the reality that God has given us the instructions and he expects a return. If you called your financial planner today and said, hey, what's going on? He goes, nah, nothing. I'm not looking for any returns. You would fire that person. You'd be like, I'm taking what I have and going elsewhere. Thank you very much. Or don't, no thank you very much, whatever. The reality is when God calls and we're like, nah, I'm just kind of hanging on the beach going with the flow. God is looking for a return on your life, and that comes by what you're doing with your influence. Are you influencing for good or for bad? All right. He says your influence should display God's goodness so they will glorify the Father in heaven. That's what it says in Matthew, right? That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So look, don't forget that you will be like salt without flavor if you are not continuing to allow your light to shine to glorify God. If I lose my saltiness, what good am I? What is salt that has lost its saltiness? It's useless. I'd never want God to consider my life useless. Hello, real talk. You came to church. I did too, preaching to myself. I don't want God to be like, yeah, I'm not getting any return anymore. I want him to see me as useful. Yeah? Okay. I never want God to consider my life little or no use. So I must maintain my purpose. I must use my influence for good. So what does this have to do with the next generation? Everything. Everything. Why do you think the world is at war for the minds of our youth? Why do you think such evil finds its way into our classrooms? Why do you think overthrowing powers try to gain influence on the young? They work to permeate classrooms with agendas, to normalize what was once taboo in the classroom. If you went back to school, oh, now this is just a parent rant who doesn't understand. No, if you understood what was now being taught in classrooms, I hear from teachers that aren't comfortable with stuff being taught in classrooms. I'm just sitting here thinking, how have we allowed this? Oh, because good people didn't speak up. How have we allowed it to become normal? Well, we just kind of figure this is part of what society's doing. We'll just pray that God holds on to our children. Parents, you would be shocked what kids are being taught by your tax dollars. This isn't just a concerned parent rant. I'm telling you, this is a pastor seeing evil at work and calling out for the salt and light, those that are Christ believers, to stand up and say something about it. I'm asking you to find your saltiness again. Stay salty. This is not a shot at all teachers. Don't get me wrong. Just the ones choosing curriculum that doesn't belong. I know right now in our school system here, there are English teachers choosing to teach zodiac signs and astrology instead of Shakespeare and vocabulary. In our city. Someone goes, well, that's not bad. I'm a zodiac. No. If this is allowed, when does it become Wicca and witchcraft? Somebody's got to wake up. Somebody's going to consider the things that we would normally, I just want you to know Shakespeare. Teach him Romeo and Juliet for all I care. not what Virgo means for them in their future. I'll get back to my stay in my lane, okay? All I'm saying is classrooms are no longer an open forum for all ideas to be discussed. Long gone are those days. There's complete animosity, hostility, and hate towards God's word and making common what God calls evil. I don't expect a public school to teach biblical principles. I'm not that crazy. Hello? Some of you expect our school system that is a public secular school to be teaching the Ten Commandments. I would love that, but let's wake up. You don't judge the secular based on God's conviction and word when they don't even believe there's a God. We help them understand the truth by the life we live and by the influence we use. Yes, and the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does, and you're not him or her, whichever one you are. Look, I don't expect them to teach biblical principles, but I certainly don't want them teaching feelings over facts and bringing agendas to desensitize our youth from what an honorable society once called wrong. I'm not even saying a godly society. I'm saying a basic, an honorable society would think this is crazy. But we've allowed the delusion. We've allowed the diluting of our way of life. So all over the country, we're seeing curriculum that's the main purpose is to sexualize our young. Even groom them. As a parent, there are things I don't want my kids knowing early. There are ages of innocence that we should be protecting. This isn't a prude message. This is a prudent message. This is why we must use our influence for good. It says we will tell the next generation, then they would put their trust in God. There's a purpose why we use our influence, and it's not just to have influence. It's so that they will trust God. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. There's a reason. God wants us to continue to reproduce, continue to share, continue to grow his kingdom through influence. So use your influence for good on the younger generations to hold to truth and to stand against evil being taught as common. Use your influence to help shape and mold the next generation to look more like Christ, less like the Kardashians. God bless them. I'm just saying, we've got to seriously consider, and someone goes, that was so judgy. No, it was a joke. And if you don't get it, that's fine. Titus 2 tells us this, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So look at how we live our life, what we model. It matters to God. Why? Because it's part of your influence. It's part of the measure of change that you can bring by how you live. How many know the number one way to lose respect is to say one thing but to do another? Parents, the number one thing is to tell your children how to live but not live it. The number one thing that will cause them to have disrespect and trust in your life is continuing to parrot one thing but not do it. So when their life looks a little less godly, rather than just trying to parrot what they need to do, actually parent them into the church. Don't parrot what should be said, parent them. Do it through action. Teach your children. We're going to get to the train them up scriptures, okay? We're going to get there. See, the enemy knows how to consider the long game. He's looking to take the next generation out through making evil common by influence. We must safeguard that next generation by using our influence to stand no matter what. Yep, that's one person that's excited about that. That's good. I'm so thankful for our youth ministry. I know just over this last month, they've literally been sharing the whole month long about how to share their faith with their friends. They've been talking about influence and what it means to be a difference now, what it means to actually do something for God now. The Bible says what? Don't despise small beginnings. And it also says, don't let anyone look down on the youth. Yes? Why? because they have influence and they can make a difference right now, not when they get older. In fact, the differences they make now will project them into a future to have even more impact later on. People say, I have people come in here into the building and they walk the building and they see just how much square footage we've given to the next generation. And they're like, oh, you know, this should definitely, you guys, so this is just their area? Like, yeah, the paint on the walls is for them. It was their choice. We're giving them space. It's not just going to be a simple multi-use space. Yeah, we can use it, but the reality is I want them to feel like they've got a place in the house of God. I want the kids to be excited about going in the kids ministry. I want the youth to feel like they have square footage to break things, unfortunately. I wish they didn't break them. I'm telling you, just the other day, something we were given for free ended up costing something else. I'm like, all right, so someone donated this and it broke that we paid for? Lord Jesus, help me. Okay, I'll keep moving. So look, at even at the age of 13, you can begin to use your influence for good. Youth, continue to open your mouth for the sake of Christ, yes? Number two, impartation is happening, so be intentional. It is happening, so be intentional. What you are teaching through words and deeds to those who have influence, who you have influence over, it matters. Again, Psalm 78, we will tell the next generation. What? What are we going to tell them? The decrees, the statutes for Jacob and establish the law in Israel. What are we saying? God's laws and morals and ethics that he gave. Look, you may not be of Jewish descent, but God chose to bring it to the Jews first, and we will continue to talk about those decrees given to Jacob. Like, who's Jacob? He's Israel. Who's Israel? That was his name. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, and that's where Israel came from, and that's where the 12 tribes of Israel came from, because it was his 12 sons. Yes? Okay, little history. So, we need to understand that impartation is happening, so we need to be intentional about it. What you choose to stand up for, what you stand against, what you speak up for, and what you speak against, it all imparts values, morals, and ethics on the next generation. What are you choosing to pass on? Is it God's statutes and laws or our society's blurry version of what's now permissible? Now look, I know parenting can be hard. I'm beginning to get that first experience of even teens and all of the rest. I get it. I was also a youth pastor for 15 years, so that counts as something, extra credit work. Basically, all I did is say what the parents said, but I was the cooler version, so they listened to me. Parents, don't hate that. All it is reaffirmation of hopefully what you're teaching in your home, and you're just using a source. It's a little cooler than you. I think it's important to understand that not all kids think their parents are cool. Actually, very few do, so you don't even worry about that. Okay? So anyway, I know parenting can be hard. I know you can feel torn between what to speak up about and what to let go. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Any parent out there know what I'm talking about? So let me help you with some amazing coaching, maybe some of the best stuff you'll have heard in a long time. Of course, not if you come to this church regularly, then it was something you even heard last week, I'm sure. But let me just give you some PC's parenting tips. If the Bible speaks about it, you speak about it. If the Bible stands against it, you stand against it. If the Bible doesn't make a big deal about it, then don't make a big deal about it. If you don't have peace about it, don't permit it. Is it that easy? No, that's not easy to do. But at least you go, hey, okay, I really don't want to deal with this, but was this in the Bible? Yes, okay, this is about purity, so I'm going to stand against this. Okay, is this in the Bible? It doesn't come down with a hammer on it. Maybe I should drop the hammer. Hello? I've heard a mom mention that she didn't like what her teens were watching, so she said, go watch that in your room. I don't like it down here in the living room. So you're teaching them that the things you don't like them to do, to go ahead and get used to doing it in their room where you can't see them. If you don't have peace with them putting it before their eyes, why are you allowing it in your house? You're the parent. Parent up. This is part of it. Well, I don't want to be seen as uncool. They already think you're uncool. You're their parent. I just want them to be my friend. They're going to grow up to be someone you don't want to be friends with. Parent them. You have like a small window to use your parent card. And if you trade that parent card in too early for a friend card, you'll never get the parent card back. Parent them! When you stand before God, God is understanding that you have your own issues that have come from your own past, but you have the ability to break generational curses over your house. Stop saying, well, I didn't have parents to watch. Go into the local church, find healthy parents with healthy kids, and start asking them how they do it. Have a coffee. Parent up. I'm passionate about this because after 15 years of youth ministry, I see so many times where parents have just opened the floodgates of things that should have been closed off in their home. Oh, Pastor, you're so prude. No, I just want you to understand that if the Bible speaks against it, you speak against it. If the Bible stands against it, you stand against it. If you don't have peace about it, don't permit it. Rant of truth. Far too long, parents have majored on the minors while minoring on the majors. They speak up about piercings and styles instead of purity and identity. I know standing against what is now considered common can be uncool, but parents, those with authority, for the love of God and all that's good and the next generation, please, man up, woman up, parent up. How can we love the next generation if we don't tell them the truth? How can I claim to love the church if I don't tell you the truth? The scripture is not blurry about purity. It's not blurry about the value and sanctity of life. It's not blurry about gender issues. We always have grace. Listen, someone goes, I cannot believe the hate I just heard. No, no, no. We will always present truth with an equally measured level of grace, the way Jesus did it. If you only present truth with no grace, it's like you're beating people up with the scripture. But the same way that Jesus said, where are those who condemn you? To the woman who had been caught in adultery. And she said, they've all gone. And he goes, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. He showed grace, but he didn't back down from truth. You have to match grace with truth. Remember last week when Jesus was talking about the Good Samaritan parable, and at the end he asked the expert in the law, which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, was a good neighbor? And they said, the one who gave grace. Jesus didn't say, yeah, you got that right. He said, go and do likewise. What does that mean? To impart something, there must be more show than tell. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not depart from it. What does that mean? Training isn't something you just theoretically talk about. In a training, it goes from the book study to the field study. Hello? So there's got to be more impartation, more show than just tell. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up. Bring them on the journey. Live it yourself while you bring them through life. Parents, show them through word and deed. Bring them up in it. Train them. Impart the knowledge of the Lord. Look, God cares about what you're passing on to the next generation. So what am I doing with the time and the influence I've been given? Last part, because I'm out of time. Number three, what inheritance am I leaving? Proverbs tells me this, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. See, what God says is, if you're doing it right, there should be something that you're leaving to them. You should be leaving something. Inheritance has so much more to do than just money, but we should live disciplined lives so that through our productivity, our investments and returns, we can leave something better to the next generation. What parent wants their child to have to start where they started? Right? What parent wants their child to have to go through what you went through? We want them to build off of our successes to go even further. So that should be the principle we consider in the intangible things too. My desire is that my children receive a spiritual inheritance that surpasses the financial inheritance. Now, I'm going to live a life so that I can pass on both. But I certainly want to make sure that I've given them the precepts and the principles to live by that God will continue to bless and favor. Yes? So why should we consider our influence, impartation, and inheritance? So the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. And they would put their trust in God. They would keep his commands and would not be a stubborn and rebellious generation, not loyal to God. So what does this break down to? So they would know in verse 6 through God's word. So they would trust him and put their confidence in him in verse 7. So that they would obey him and keep his commands in verse 7. And then why? So they won't become a stubborn and rebellious generation, not faithful to God in verse 8. And then why? At the very end, it goes all the way back up to verse 6. Let's bring that same scripture back up at the very beginning, in verse 6. So they in turn would tell their children. God is showing the multiplication and the turnover, the generation to generation thought. Our influence isn't just important for now. It's so that God will continue to see his kingdom come and his will be done through us as we use our influence, as we use our impartation, and as we leave a good inheritance for the next generation. Living for legacy is a mindset. It's keeping in mind the things that matter when we are gone. It's setting up the next generation for further success, and it is keeping our eyes on the prize and continuing to live on purpose. Let's live a life worth remembering. Let's live for legacy. Did you receive that word today?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.